Hey guys, welcome to episode 77 of A Wrestling Gal Podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J, as today I am joined by the mother of chaos, Casey Owens. Now let's chat! Hello, everybody. Today, I am joined by the mother of chaos, Casey Owens. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing perfectly grand. I've got a new member of the family, so we're taking care of little Nico, our little Yorkie pup that we got yesterday. So while we're at the gym with Molly Spartan, so that's an interesting day.
Tell me more about your new puppy, because I got a new cat over quarantine, and it's like it's so fun to have a new pet.
Oh yeah, it's me and my other half, BT Gunn. Mm-hmm. We already had a dog called Lexi. She's a Staffordshire Bull Terrier Collie cross. Okay. And she suffered a phantom pregnancy over lockdown. Oh. Uh-huh. So almost like the puppy that we've got is actually for her. For the puppy had. So the puppy we got from actually one of our trainees from the Glasgow Wrestling Asylum. His little Yorkie gave birth a couple of weeks ago, so yay! So it kind of worked out.
That sounds fun. Well, you know, firstly, how else have you stayed occupied during this quarantine besides getting a new puppy, of course?
Well, it's been a hell of a lot of social media work. I got my Patreon page, which I thought I would never do, but I thought it's giving me something to do every day, so get on there if you want to see a few few things that I don't put on Instagram or get into my daily life sort of stuff, plus a lot of workouts and that sort of thing. Because of Wolfgang owning his own gym, we were able to train like separately. We had our set times to come to the gym and train there a couple of times a week, so we're kind of on top of that, so not too bad. Plenty of walks with Lexi, and it's been quite active.
Now, can you kind of walk me through your daily workout routine then?
Yeah, so when it comes, well, it depends if I'm working or not at my shoot job. If I'm working at my shoot job, I'll be here at like 8 a.m. I do 4 days a week gym work, and as many days as I can in ring as well. So I'll have my pull days, push days, like a combination of both, and then a day solely for legs as well, because I'm trying to build the sets up, because they seem to be anytime I see myself on footage, I always think I'm taller than most girls. I'm like 5'7", so I feel like I look really lanky. I'm like, let's put some size on these legs and try and look a little bit more stocky, shall we?
You know, is it weird too? I know you've been wrestling for like 10 years now, but is it still weird to see yourself back, like watching it back? Or is it like weird to see that? Because I know listening to myself back on like these podcasts, it's like I hate my own voice. Is it weird to you, or have you kind of gotten used to it?
I still find it not embarrassing, but I still look back and go, what was I thinking? And a lot of things. But one of my tiers on my Patreon is actually I'm starting to do watching old matches back, reviewing, doing like intros and stuff like that for that. So it's like I'll take matches from like when I was in 2013 in Ice Ribbon and go, okay, I'm like 3 foot taller than most of these little girls. What's going on here? Or like some of my first matches with my sister in Ireland, and like see the progression from then, from like the first match that me and Tony Storm ever had to one that we had recently at Eve, and how much we changed, and like progression throughout that time's been unreal. So it's good to watch, but also like I'm watching it through my hands, like, oh my god.
And you know, delving right into wrestling, so the first time I actually saw you was last year during Eve's Super Shedown event, where you faced Emi Sakura in that match.
Yeah.
But you know, when I saw you later that year, besides your different hair color being green at the time, your character seemed a little darker and intense. So can you kind of explain this change to me as someone from outside the UK? What prompted this change?
Well, for so many years, like up until about, I would say about 4 or 5 years ago, I was very much still seen as Casey Owens, as of the Owens twins. So it was very much always tarred with that same brush as these happy-go-lucky twins and blah, blah, blah. And even when I was tagging with Leah at the time, I was still trying, I was very much more seen as the wrestler. Lee was very much more the entertainer, the talker, and that sort of thing. And I'm like, look, I'm trying to get away from this, totally break away from this. And unfortunately, Leah suffered her ACL injury.
So
it was unfortunate for her, but it gave me the chance to really break away in that the more English scene, from being seen as the Owens twins, hence the drop of the Owens and the name and that sort of thing as well. I'd already started like progressing through that at ICW. Whenever Leah left working there, and I continued on to as Casey. So it was kind of like that, just emerging out of who I am and something that I've wanted to do. And it seemed to be from day one, I was always more of a heel, and that it went through all the stages of heel, face, then the crazy chick and all that stuff. But it was trying to find what I'm more comfortable with. And then if you're more comfortable, then you can emotion more, get more emotion from the crowd a little bit more. And that I feel like my intensity and my facials and even just a look at somebody, it can get that reaction from someone. And it's less is more for me. And I found that a lot with over the last couple of years working with Molly Spartan at TNT. So it kind of allowed me to progress through there. And I think it's done me the world of good.
Now, what kind of character do you feel more comfortable now as your character today than you ever have before? Or is it still you're kind of still evolving that character?
I think I'm a lot more comfortable, but okay. I still think there's a ways to go. But I think at this moment in time, anybody would be happy doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you talk about dropping the Owens names, but I still see sometimes you do go by Casey Owens rather than Casey. So how do you determine when you'll go by Casey and when you go by Casey Owens? Is it at certain promotions or?
Yeah, very much certain promotions. More the adult sort of promotions, it's more Casey because she's the she's the side of it, as you say, the more intense side of it. If it's Casey Owens, then I can get away with being, dare I say, more slapstick or doing like camp sort of style heel matches where it's more like it's tongue in cheek. Whereas with Casey, like she's here to do a job. She's here to she's here to win no matter what.
And now you talk about being one half of the Owens twins with your sister Leah. And I noticed that your sister Leah actually debuted about 5 months after you did. So I'm wondering, did you guys actually start training at the same time or did you start before she did?
I started before she did. It was always been the dream of mine when I remember saying to my dad when I was like 11, after we were watching SummerSlam. And I says, I'm going to be a wrestler and blah, blah, blah. And my mom and dad went, yeah, sure, okay. Because it was never really a big thing in Northern Ireland. We didn't really know of the scene in the down south, didn't know where we would need to go train and that sort of thing. It was just that sort of way. I had it in my head. I want to be like Lita. I want to be like Trish, like all that. And then I started training a year before Leah did. And then I was like, well, twins seem to be like not like a moneymaker, but it's like that no-brainer, get the twins in. Sort of idea. So I was like, Lee, you like wrestling as well, come on in. And she like from the first bump she was hooked as well. So like we always did watch wrestling with our family, like our older brother. We were never really like Barbie girls. We would always play with like the action figures like my brother had.
So
always that sort of way, like, yeah, you have your Barbies, I'll have like Eddie Guerrero and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you brought it up because I was going to say your favorite wrestlers were Lita and Eddie growing up. So I'm wondering, though, did your sister have the same taste as you in wrestlers or did you guys kind of have a friendly rivalry with who your favorites were?
Well, like we're big Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian, Dudley Boys fans because the whole tag team idea. So, like, there's always two people you always have my back. But Leah like tend to like China, Victoria and girls like that. More guys like The Rock, Stone Cold, and that sort of thing. Like I love Stone Cold as well. Like he's a part of my like Mount Rushmore. So, but yeah, as much as we are similar, there's a lot of differences between us.
Did you guys ever test out wrestling moves on each other growing up? You had to have, I think.
Yeah. Definitely. Like there's been many a broken sofa, much to our mom and dad's dismay. And that wasn't even just us. It was us and our older brother making up our own signature moves and that sort of thing in the back garden. And then it started in the backyard when I was about 17. But we weren't just on like mats and like a field. We actually had like a boxing ring, which we thought was really, really professional.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it was quite fun.
Now, how was one of your parents like a boxer, or how did you guys get a boxing ring in like your backyard or your house?
It wasn't, it was actually a company I was training with. It was, friends got together, we started training at a local leisure center, and then we just looked into hiring a ring. So then we started putting on shows, and we used to hire a boxing ring. So unlike most people, like when they put on shows, there's like backyard and they sometimes don't have a ring. So we was like, we need to be more official. We need to have something. And because none of us had any sort of links or contacts for the likes of No Limit Wrestling or Fight Factory in Dublin, or even wrestling.ie that tours around the north of Ireland. We just kind of went, okay, boxing ring, at least it's something. It has ropes and it moves, so it's okay.
you made it work, seemingly.
Seemingly, but there is footage online somewhere. Oh. Just like, oh my God.
Oh, I want to see this.
I'll link it to you later.
Yeah, if you find it, I feel like that should be one of your things on Patreon. If it's not too embarrassing, you know, for you, definitely put it on your Patreon.
Definitely is on Patreon already. I found some photos in a local shopping mall doing like a show on mats and stuff like that. Me and the black and white flame pleathers and like a set of tights and a crop top and stuff like that, going, I'm so like leader right now.
That's funny. Now, what would you say is the biggest difference between you and your sister in real life?
Let's think. Besides me being straight edge and Leah not, we're just very, very different personalities. Leah is very much a lot louder. People hear Leah before they see her, whereas I'm kind of more drawn back, which is very, very different from how Casey is. Casey's very much like, you will pay attention to me, where I'm just like, I'm gonna sit here and analyze the situation and figure out what's going on. I like to people watch a lot more.
Oh, whereas that's fun too. I do that too. I'm a people watcher as well.
See the stuff that you see that people don't realize, and you're like, no, I saw
that. There's so many things that I feel like you just do unconsciously, like without even realizing that people are watching, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, did anyone see that? And you're like, ugh.
Yeah, or the stories that you make up in your head of what this couple are doing across the street from you. Mm-hmm.
It's funny. Now, now you've also had a successful singles career as well, holding many titles such as the ICW Women's Championship, the TNT Women's Championship, to name a few. But what would you say has been the most proud or maybe most memorable moment for you during your singles run?
Winning the ICW Women's Championship in the cage match at the Hydro. Literally like my biggest moment. It was in there with two of my favorite people, Viper and Kaylee Ray, and my sister was in the front row of the crowd. And when I'd made my entrance, I'd climbed the cage and just sat there for a second at the top watching my name go around the stadium and in all the lights, and I'm like, holy crap. And then whenever just hearing the roar of the crowd, whenever I jumped I hit the floor on the other side of the cage, it was just like, wow, this is me cementing my moment here.
Yeah, you did it.
I was like, I know that was the second time that I won the championship, but I think it meant a lot more.
Now, I was going to bring this up anyway, but since you mentioned Kaylee Ray and Viper, what are your thoughts on their upcoming title match for the NXT UK Women's Championship?
Oft. It is going to be unreal. Like I've seen these girls progress like for the last 10 years. I've seen it live. I've seen the passion that they've got for this business and the stuff that the what they put on the line in every single match, even being in singles matches against them, like how much that they've helped me improve and just help each other improve, and they're still improving even though they're at the top of their game. And that's what amazes me about them, because there's no stopping them, and it's just you're gonna have to watch it. All eyes on Kaylee Ray and Piper.
I feel like there's so many talented UK, talented UK talent, but you know what I mean. There's so many talented UK stars. What are some of the superstars over in the UK you think are kind of have potential? Maybe people don't notice them yet, but they're on their way up. They're going to be future stars.
Male or female or both? Both. Female, definitely Debbie Keitel. She's had
Debbie's
a couple of
great.
weeks. Yeah, definitely Debbie Keitel. Bobby Tyler, of the Tokyo Cyber Squad, and Lizzie Styles, actually. She's coming out with a fire under her over the last year or two.
Yeah,
and
Lizzie Evo, yeah.
Yeah. She's got so much talent. And I remember the first time we wrestled each other at TNT, and we put the match together, and she was looking at me the way that I look at Kaylee. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting going, shut the fuck up, it's just me. Sorry. Uh-huh. Sorry.
No, you can swear, you're good.
It's like, shut the fuck up, it's just me. He's like, yeah, but you're Casey. I was like, shut up. And I literally went, oh, I see. You see me the way I see Kaylee. Shut. And I literally just was like, shut up. Like, right. And we put the match together in like no time at all. We just had this natural connection. And it was a great, great wee match. And then for guys, like, obviously I'm going to say, like, so BT Gunn and Stevie Boy, mm-hmm. they're like, they're, BT is my other half. And they two came up together. They helped train Kaylee and all the rest of it. And they're two minds that should definitely be seen throughout the world. So, like BT Gunn, Stevie Xavier, Stevie Boy or Stevie Xavier, and then like Lizzie and Debbie Keitel and Bobby, I think definitely top five.
Now, speaking of Tokyo Cyber Squad with Bobby, you've obviously spent some time in Japan with two tours, I believe, but it's been a few years since you've been there. But do you have any main takeaways or things you've learned from your two tours there?
How much emotion drives reaction. Yes, you can do a million and one moves, but unless you've got that emotion behind your eyes to draw the people in, you might as well not done nothing. Because it's literally like, because there's that language barrier.
Yes.
How you bodily move, or the way that you look at somebody, or the tone that you do something with, that's more reactive. But the work ethic out there is second to none. Like, these girls are just, I don't know how they do it. Like, the amount of matches they have every week, like,
they're incredible.
They're amazing. And it's trying to get the eyes on that, because people tend to like, Japan, like, just, yeah, it's over there. It's like, no, really, watch it. And I actually noticed a promoter in the UK tweet recently after watching the Stardom 5-Star Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. And basically was saying, like, this is the finals. Is this the same caliber as what you get in the everyday shows? Or is this just, like, a one-off? And I was like, no, that's them 24/7. Like, you have to up your game or you're going to get lost in that shuffle. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to return there today, is there any competitor you have your eye on squaring off with?
Let's see if I can say this right. It's Guilia, and I'd want to say it wrong. Girl in Stardom, Guilia or something like that. I'm so sorry to anybody that I'm offending right now. Lori in Stardom. She used to train at Ace Ribbon. But she is now training, she's now at Stardom, and the difference in her from her Ice Ribbon days to her Stardom days is like black and white. She's so much more intense, and her work rate and her work ethic and her just went the way that she moves, mm-hmm. you can see the difference, and it was paid off bucket loads for her. Obviously, like, I've wrestled Bea Priestley in the past, I would like to do Bea again. We went to town on each other at the match in Pro Wrestling Eve, and I would love to go again.
Oh, I hope so. I feel like you need another Japan tour, obviously, once the world is safer, because that's the number one priority, but I would love to see you in Japan again.
I was meant to be in the 5-Star Grand Prix last summer, but the reason it's in time, FedEx lost it. And I was like, I was so heartbroken. Like, I was crying. I was like, Rossi, please keep me in mind. This isn't my fault. Like, please, it's not, you know how much I want to be there. It's just getting the time off work here and making sure my bills are paid back home. To make sure that I can go away for 2-3 months at a time. Whereas my job, like, I would just leave and then get another job when I come back home. But it's making sure I've got enough saved up to cover rent and all that when I leave, which is kind of the annoying thing about having a real life. I wish I could just wrestle full time.
Well, fingers crossed that somehow you can make it back there next year, maybe. I don't know what the world's gonna be like, but fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's like I've said it to everybody, like I love, like from the moment I went to Japan in 2013, mm-hmm. I never wanted to come home. Mm-hmm. It was just, I loved it so much.
Now, switching gears here a little bit, I just want to know if you know if there's any plans in the works for some maybe women's tag titles in the UK?
Actually, Dan Reed at Eve was talking about, he's got the tag titles there.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. He was also thinking about like a trios tournament and stuff like that. Ooh. As well, but I'm not sure what's going to happen in the new year because with so many shows,
yeah. Being mm-hmm.
people, we'll be able to put on shows. But I would love to see women's tag titles in the UK. And I think if me and Molly have our way at TNT, there should be in the women's mm-hmm. division. Yes, Jay, you heard that right.
And, you know, speaking of tag titles, like you said, you're obviously a part of this amazing stable known as the She-Wolves. And I asked Molly the same question, but I want to hear your interpretation of it, too. So to you, what does it mean to be a She-Wolf?
The empowering of women to show that not only are we strong, but you knock us down, we're going to get back up, all that stuff. But the fact is, you can never take your eye off. You never take your eye off us. We're not some meek little person that needs saving. Like, we'll save ourselves mm-hmm. and we'll take care of each other. Like, for us backstage at TNT, we're a family. And I've said this with regards to like the speaking out and stuff like that and being named safeguarders and that sort of thing.
Yes.
It's the same thing as what we were doing already at TNT. It was for a very long time. It was pretty much Lana versus insert wrestler. Lana versus mm-hmm. insert.
Lana Austin, yeah.
Yeah. It was always the same thing. Always the same thing. And we were like, look, you can do so much more. There's so many more women, that out there that you can have on your shows, and people will love them. Like, they are amazing. Like, you just need to get them in. So Molly and I came up with this sort of storyline to bring in this faction to almost. Mm-hmm. 180 on itself, so that then people can get their own back on the She-Wolves, so that it can bring in more women and showcase a lot more mm-hmm. women. And I think that we've done a good job of that, but I don't think we're finished yet. And it's basically equal opportunities for us, because it's the first time that I think a lot of the girls had said to us backstage that it's one of the best locker rooms that they've been in, because
good.
We've got their own separate locker room. All of our suggestions, all of our storyline ideas are all heard and taken on board. And mm-hmm. at the time, they would come to us with a storyline idea and we go, too early for that. Leave it for later. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, what do you mean it's too early for that? It's like, listen, when it pays off, it'll pay off. Just mm-hmm. just hold off on that a wee bit. And then so many different ideas, like when the whole Lana Austin turn for a She-Wolf.
Yes.
They wanted that to happen nearly 8 months earlier than what it did.
Wow, then, that's a while.
Yeah, and it says it's too soon for that. Too soon, too soon. And it wasn't us going, oh, it's too soon, we want more bookings. It was mm-hmm. it's too soon because it doesn't make sense. And every time they came to us about her turning, it was like, right, okay, we're going to have this tag match. And when her partner goes to tag her, she's just going to jump off the apron. And we're like, no. No, that is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's been done to death. We want something like totally left field, people not thinking where it's coming or mm-hmm. not seeing where it's coming from. And when we did it, it got the reaction that we want. And they were like, right, okay, yous are right. Yous are right. It was like, see?
Mm-hmm. Now, how does it feel to kind of have that creative freedom, too? That's got to be so empowering, too. You can kind of do what you want, you know, within, like, probably some limit at all. But how does it feel to actually have that creative freedom in a business where you're kind of sometimes dictated by stick to the script or whatever?
It's so freeing. And I think because of who we are as people, me and Molly Spartan,
yeah,
I think people are like, right, okay. Like they've got an idea for this, because I think a lot of girls, and I don't know if that's just in the UK or in the US as well, a lot of girls are just happy to get a booking.
Yeah.
Happy to see that one match in the show. And I'm like, look, think longevity. You're going to want to build your brand
mm-hmm.
and build a following. And the only way you can do that is by getting people more engaged with you and not just in that one 8-12 minute match that you do at that one indie show down the road. It's make a noise for yourself, make that statement so that it's seen all over the internet, that it's seen like 200, 300 miles away in London, like that sort of thing. It's that sort of idea of make an impact. Don't just settle for the same thing.
Oh, no, absolutely. Now, speaking of Molly, can you tell me more about your friendship with her? When did you two actually meet for the first time?
Well, it was actually whenever I started working for ICW.
Okay.
Molly was working, she was recording the promos backstage.
Mm-hmm.
Molly was actually part of the writing team for quite a long time at ICW.
Yes.
She was working backstage during that, and it was through her basically making me do promos. I hated doing promos. Like, mm-hmm. to this day, it's like one of my more weaker points, but thanks to Molly, I've gotten better at it. But it was through that, and my other half, BT, and her other half, Wolfgang, are best mates and have been for over 20 years. And mm-hmm. So we started hanging about a lot more outside of ICW and BCW shows and that sort of thing. And we just clicked. we're both as crazy as each other, so it kind of just works.
There you go, balance each other out.
Exactly.
Now, do you have any dream tag team opponents for yourself and Molly from anywhere around the world?
Well, in TNT, definitely the Kings of the North, because it'll be like a full circle sort of thing, because Machine in Kings of the North, Aaron Cunningham, he was actually my trainer.
Ah.
When I started wrestling, and Corbin, I used to train with him a lot as well. So it'd be a nice wee full circle thing. Them two, I would love to actually see. I've always wanted to wrestle Bobby Tyler, so maybe Tokyo Cyber Squad.
Yeah, her and Zoe.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm like, for sure, because I even said to Jay. Jay asked me, "Who do you want in for a singles match?" I was like, "Bobby," and he was like, "Really?" I was like, "Yeah, give me Bobby." Like, I want her here, and she's like, "All right, okay." Well, unfortunately, that's not happened yet. So, because of damn COVID, woke queens for sure, Debbie Keitel and Valkyrie. But
yes.
I don't know whether or not that'll be on the cards because of Valkyrie NXT UK.
But maybe
an ICW show. I'm trying to think who else tag team wise.
There's Pretty Little Killers. I don't know if you've faced them.
I've faced Ruby Radley in a singles match. That would be an interesting one as well.
Okay. Is there a particular opponent you think has either pushed or challenged you the most inside the ring in your 10 years of wrestling so far?
Besides Kaylee and Mercedes Martinez, for sure. Like when that in that She Won match with her, I was just like, mm-hmm. holy crap, like just her mind is crazy. Like,
I know, how,
this point to that point, like, hope, like I've watched her for years and years and years, and I like her match with Tessa just blew my mind, and I'm like, right, okay, I really want to wrestle you. And then Dan heard me say mm-hmm. this and went, okay, well then, and I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I got that chance. But yeah, Mercedes, and was all like, I said Kaylee as well, because Kaylee was the one that helped.
Yeah.
Really get me out of that sort of carny way of working, and that sort of, yeah, you're a heel because you have a grumpy face, and you've like, you scowl at somebody and they're scared of you. No, it's more about the emotion that you can evoke from them, from what you can do in the ring. And she built that with me through training and through all the matches that we've had. Every single time I stepped in the ring with her, it was always just up a gear until we got to where I am today.
Now, you talk about Mercedes and Tessa. Are you talking about their 75-minute Iron Woman match?
Yes, like how they managed that. Like,
yeah.
Wow. Like, 20-minute time limit with Jetta was enough for me.
Jetta's so
like,
great.
Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
How do you think you would actually fare if theoretically you were to do like a 30, maybe I guess 30, because 75-minute is kind of intense. How do you think you would fare in like a 30 or like 40-minute Iron Woman match?
No, I think I'd fare okay, because a lot of my training at the minute in the ring is very much British style catch as catch can, just wrestle until you can't wrestle anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cardio build up to begin with, and then you just pair off with somebody and just keep going. Keep going until somebody tags out.
Fair enough.
And So I think I should be all right with that. And I've actually wanted for quite a while to do an Iron Woman match. And I've seen that Charlie Evans had done one. And I'm like, right, I want you next time. Like, I want you to put me through my paces next time.
Alrighty. Now, lastly, in your 10 years of wrestling now, what are some things you've either learned about yourself or the wrestling business in general? What are some takeaways from this first decade of wrestling for you?
I'm a lot stronger than what I thought I was, both emotionally and physically. Just that the wrestling scene is a lot bigger than what you think it is, and just to live every day wanting to learn more and getting better. Because the moment you think you know everything is the moment you need to quit.
And, you know, before I let you go, can you please just tell the listeners where they can find you on all your social medias?
Yeah, so on Facebook, just under Casey Owens. On Instagram, I believe, is Casey Owens 11. On Instagram, Casey with a capital K, Owens with a capital O, 89. And on my Patreon, under Casey Owens as well.
I think you're actually Casey Owens 11 on Instagram and Casey Owens 5 on Twitter.
I always get them backwards. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me, Casey. Honestly, you've been on my list for a while now, ever since I first saw you last year. So this was an honor for me to chat with you. Thank you so much. And thank you to Molly for kind of making this happen.
Of course. So you should always just shoot me a message.
Well, yeah. Thank you again for chatting with me. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. I'll speak to you soon then. See you, everybody.